line, ladies and gentlemen. You have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for Leaks BMX is ready. I know I am. Check the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX is streaming to you. To post up on your couch, screencast to YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. You gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They come into you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rounds are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, kinda gotta entertain y'all. And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet some are good, who's gonna impress? Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, get back and relax. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like, subscribe, get back and relax.
Welcome to season five. Here we go. Episode 186. Shoe Man tonight. We got Steve Carrera hanging out with us. It's going to be a good time. He owns the Tampa-based shoe company, SCG. He's going to be joining us here in a few minutes. We're going to talk tonight, all things shoes.
Shoes.
All things shoes, man.
Hey, you got to have time. Shoes if you're going to ride BMX,
That's
man.
Right. You do. Got to have them. Got to have them. It's a necessity. You don't need.
I think so.
You don't necessarily need them to clip in, though.
No.
You can still go fast. Hey. We're coming to you live from the Ethan Clark Studios here. Chris and I are sitting at the AOT News Desk, as always. Oh. Melissa, she's back there at the Gate 9 Producers Perch. How are you, Melissa?
Not too bad. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
It's going to be a good one tonight. Starting a new season over. Got an awesome guest. Got a great stories. We had a good time in the pre-show. Man, we were talking some 2000 BMX freestyle. It was a fun time. And tell you what, our guest is brought to you by Danger Snacks. Danger Snacks is the snack that makes the difference between dragging ass or hauling ass.
Yes, sir. Hey, discount code.
Shit show. You get 10% off. Go ahead and order. He's got a new flavor coming out. He's got it on the way for us to try live on the show. So,
that'll be.
Hey, have you guys been practicing?
No, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
I was like, there's
it?
Like a nice little back and forth vibe there. I probably just messed it up by calling you out, but I was like, where am I?
Nah.
Hey, vacation's a good
by season five, we got it down.
186 shows, it's bound to happen just naturally at some point.
Yeah, you were just like back and forth and back and forth, and I was like, what is happening right now? Oh my God, we got our shit together.
Oh, well.
Yeah there
hey,
that
you
goes.
Know what? Speaking of getting our stuff together, we are on Instagram now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and
hey, go check us out there. Hey, yeah.
But come back to YouTube or to Facebook.
Right, yeah.
Just go over there, check it out.
Yeah, while we're on that real quick, like and subscribe, people. We got a bazillion people out there that we've invited to like the show, but none of you like it, and we could really use the help because we need to get BMX out there in the Google and everything else algorithm. So let's like and subscribe and share.
Yeah, and Chris is going to start running the page formerly known as Twitter. He's going to be running the X page for all things BMX, so be on the lookout for content on there too. We've had a channel over there for a while.
We have, but I can tell you, I looked this afternoon. You know how many people follow us on X?
The five of us.
47.
47. All right.
47. Not 4,700. 47.
Well, Twitter's that one area. Tonight's chat question brought to you by BMX Rocks Photography. Got a good one for you. Who is your pick for USA BMX 2024 Vet Pro? Who do you got, Chris?
Oh, gosh. You know,
are you going to take the easy way out?
Yeah, the easy way out is Barry Nobles.
All right.
You know, hey, I'm going to go to KJ Romero.
And KJ can pull it off?
KJ. Hey, if somebody can, it'll be KJ.
Melissa, you got a pick?
Well, I got to go with the brand new soon-to-be daddy. I'm going that the captain's going to take it.
All right.
There you go.
It's going to be tough, man, but...
he's going to have new daddy power.
Yeah.
So are you going with Justin?
I got to go with the Alabama Slammer myself.
Yeah.
We'll ask our guest here in a second. Tonight's Lightning Round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. When you guys are ordering from 110, make sure you guys use the All Things BMX discount. You get 10% off, and hey, it helps out, and they help the show, so we want to help them. And speaking of people that help out the show, we want to say thanks to Die Job Apparel, our good friends over at Ghetto Wear. You guys want some cool apparel, check them out on Facebook and on the gram. Hack Shack, if you guys are looking for your own side hack, check out Homie Mike over there and DV Sports World also. And
side hacks are getting popular.
Big time, man.
They are hitting. So, yeah, get over to Hack Shack because he'll custom make it however you need it to be, man.
Yep.
Just talk to Mike Melvin over there at the Hack Shack.
You guys watching all the links from the show's partners and sponsors, they'll be in the description so you can check them out. Speaking of Die Job Apparel, got that new limited edition shirt from him.
Oh, yeah?
It's in that OnlyFlats/OnlyFans.
It's not my favorite.
It's just because of the looks you get when we're out together.
Is that the...
No, that won't happen.
Is that the OnlyFans logo?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
See, what do you mean you don't know about the OnlyFans logo?
Thank you, Chris, for being a decent human.
Stop it.
I honestly... No lie. I have no idea. I didn't know.
Full of shit. All right, without any further ado, let's welcome in our
Shelly. I believe him, Shelly.
Oh, I bet she doesn't know what that is either.
Steve, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing this evening?
How you doing, everybody? It's good to get
hey,
to be here.
Hey, Steve.
With you.
Welcome on into the show.
Happy to have you here, man.
All right.
Good time before the show, too, talking to some old school BMX there. I guess it's mid school, right?
We even talked about some Michigan Kebco BMX on.
It was a long time.
That was a while. Hey, when we started out, that was part of the sponsor
it's
of the
like
show.
Like it's fourth
Kebco.
Iteration, man.
It was the Kebco Studios at that point.
It was. Yeah. Kebco jerseys and the whole deal going on there.
Let's talk.
All right. So
it's
Steve,
all about your roots, man. Can't lose focus of where they are and can't stray too far.
Yeah. Justin's got some DVDs. Ask him about it sometime. He's still selling them out of a backpack at the track.
Just trying to get them converted over on OnlyFans, man.
There you go.
I'm going to beat your ass. What's that? You're going to be out on your OnlyFans ass in a minute.
We're off and running.
Apparently, Melissa's not a fan of the OnlyFans.
She's the only fan. It's only. Not a fan.
I am your only fan.
She is your
That's
fan.
The problem.
Oh, all right. Let's get it going.
Yes, sir. All right, Steve. Let's start out. We'll go. How did you find out about the sport of BMX? Get involved.
For me, it started off just magazine back in the day. Stu Thompson. So it was kind of like the grocery store kind of flyery thing. Stu Thompson was doing rounds to some of the military bases. So I'm an Army brat.
Okay.
So that was like the first introduction was actually Stu Thompson doing little kick turn ramp shit. And then he actually jumped over a damn car in the parking lot on base.
Wow.
Oh, neat.
All right, so you saw that in person.
To start off with, right?
Yeah. So you saw that in person.
Yeah, yeah, and then like I was just like, okay, like that, I want to do that stuff. Yeah. My dad's like, no, you'll kill yourself.
Oh, you know,
and here we are, plates and screws, and almost killed myself a couple times.
Right, it kind of makes me wonder. I wonder how many people Stu Thompson has brought into this sport.
Oh,
it's just one of those things.
I couldn't imagine, man. Like,
yeah,
you think back to that era when those guys were still doing tours, and then like the GT and Dyno Tour came out after then, like the Haro demo tour. Like, you look at that era of BMX, like, goodness gracious, man, it was like it was literally like carnies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Stu, you know, I have cousins that know nothing about BMX, but they know the name Stu Thompson. And I'm like, how do you know that? And he's like, well, that's the BMX guy. And I'm like, okay.
Well, that's like that name's up there with, you know, we were talking about him earlier with Dave Mira.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like that's that name.
Yeah. Nyquist, TJ Lavin.
Yeah. I mean, they crossed from just the sport into more of the pop culture. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. What was the time frame when you got started into the sport?
Oh man. So that's, I had to have been probably maybe 10 years old when I actually started jumping stuff, like actually getting hurt trying to do tricks. But I remember like one Christmas, I had this little red bike with fenders, plastic wheels. And I don't think I could have been maybe 8 years old trying to bomb hills. We were in Fort Taunton, New York. I bombed out of the playground. Mm-hmm. And of course, no supervision because I lied to my parents. And I got hit by a car.
Oh gosh.
So that's kind of where it started. I jumped off my bike, landed on the cowl of the car, and the bike was under me, under the car.
Oof.
So I was destined to be that way. But I remember the Mongoose, like they had that Blue Max, like that was like my first real BMX bike. And I didn't have that thing like maybe a couple weeks. So I was already sending it off curbs and, you know, trying to jump stuff and coming home skinned up.
Yeah.
10-year-old Evel Knievel.
Right.
Yeah, like just too dumb to know better, you know, doing turn bars and landing like that.
Wow.
Fun stuff.
So did you do any racing?
Well, I tried racing. It's just I sucked. Like I was really, really bad. I didn't know anything about gear ratio. So I had like 42-16, I think, is the gear ratio I was running. So, like, the first 50 feet I was booking. And then, like, a quarter down the first straight, like, everybody's already passed the first turn. And I was like, dude, like, I'm paying money, like, to get smoked.
Yeah.
So then I would wait, like, safe face. I just kind of hang back. Everybody would take off. Then I started hitting the jumps. And then it was just like, you know what? I can't afford to pay money to just, like, hit the jumps. Like, if I'm not going to race, like, I should probably just, like, maybe get, like, some cinder blocks or a shovel. So then that's what kind of, like, took me that jumping freestyle way.
Right. Where, when you started riding, where were you at, like, state-wise? Where were you?
So my dad, he was Army dude. So the state that I'd say where I started, like, actually jumping stuff was when we actually were deployed to Korea. We lived in Seoul, Korea for a few years. And that's when me and that Blue Max started getting all steezy, you know. I was jumping all sorts of shit, coming home with pinch flats and skinned up.
Oof.
But that's where it started, you know. So I was a young buck, like, had half a fro, like, skinny as a rail. And that was it, man. Like, I was hooked. Yeah.
So about what year, roughly?
Holy crap.
Well, man, if you were 10, what year were you born? If you were 10 years old, you've been.
Yeah, so I was born 74, so I had been about, like, 84.
Okay.
I remember, like, my favorite shorts were, like, these blue Jimmy Z things. I had, like, yellow, like, lightning bolt squares or some shit on it, crew length socks yanked up to my knees.
Love it. You weren't the OP shorts.
Yeah, I mean, they could have been, you know, but I didn't want to say those two letters, you know. Jimmy Z was much cooler, but it didn't exist for like another 10 years.
Oh gosh, what was the Maui and Sons? That was the other one.
Yeah, no, you're probably right with OP, man. They were terrible.
So you started out living over in Seoul, hitting the trails, riding, learning more. When did you end up coming back stateside? And kind of walk us through what the transition when you came back home or back to the United States was like.
Yeah, so when we came back to the States, I remember my pops, like, he got stationed outside of Petersburg, Virginia, Fort Lee. So when we got to Fort Lee, that's when, you know, like, I think what, middle school maybe? I met this other kid in school, Matt Henrich. He rode BMX. So there are two of us, you know, two whole BMX kids in school. And then all the jocks hated us, like all the cheerleaders hated us. All the punk rock kids hated us. And then the, I guess the skaters kind of pitied us because, you know, like there's only two of us. So we started hanging out with the skaters. Jason Seligman was a kid in my class that skated. And then his older brother, Rodney Seligman, turned out those dudes, their parents had a motel in Petersburg, and they had a mini ramp and a vert ramp. So that's where I actually started riding ramps, was with those dudes. And then you looking at the magazines, like that Stonehenge box jump thing was all over the place. So we built one of those in my buddy Matt's side yard, you know, proceeded to start doing lawn darts to your neck.
Lawn darts.
You know, and that was like the where it kind of started to evolve. Like we all rode flatland, we rode ramps, we just rode BMX. You know, like we'd ride the storm drains on base. Like they were looking back at it now, like I didn't even know what a hip was back then. But there was a big hip in the storm drain on base. Some of the guys, like there was, looking back at it now, like digging a big lip, essentially we dug this 8-foot quarter into the side of a hill and tried to jump it like a box jump. You know, like, so like bending forks, smoking wheels, cranks, like had no idea why. And that's kind of like where just all of it started to kind of evolve. Mm-hmm. And then starting to look at like more of it, like seeing BMX Plus and flipping out. I remember I lied to my parents and said that I was going to stay at Matt's house. Matt lied to his parents that he was going to stay at my house. And we ended up in Rockville, Maryland. I remember like we went to see, we saw the Haro demo tour. We saw GT Dino without my parents. And then we actually went with my parents like the next year. But we just met some knuckleheads that were going. So we lied and went. And what's just it? You know, like Lord Volker, you know, I remember like,
oh, there's a name,
dude. Dave, like Volker hit this kicker, I think it was Gary Pollock was doing a pedal picker, and then Volker comes across the parking lot, hits this like 2-foot tall launch ramp, boosts like 10 foot over Gary Pollock to flat. You know, just kind of seeing all that stuff, that it just, none of it made any sense, you mm-hmm. know. Back then in the magazines, you saw the glossy still photo, but you didn't know what it took to the before and the after part, you know?
Right.
So just being mortified and enthralled, and just like, all right, I need more of that, you know?
Yeah, I remember,
and I've been hooked since, man.
Remember seeing the GT guys at like a local go-kart place here in Michigan, the flatland guy, real tall, Trevor Meyer?
Trevor Meyer, yeah.
And this might little after when you were talking, but I remember seeing, and all I ever saw was still, like, I'd see the still shots in the magazines, right? And, like, the crazy moves and the, but then you seen him link them together, and I just remember thinking, no, nope, that's not, nope, not going to happen.
So from your first introduction to flat, mine was, like, Martin Aparillo, so, like,
okay.
10, 15 years before Trevor Meyer.
Oh, wow.
You know, so seeing like Aprio riding, and then back then, like all the dudes that were riding ramps, you know, like for instance, for me, like Rick Molinterno, like he's been one of my, you know, childhood superheroes with bikes that now I can call a friend, you know, like, so it's rad just that kind of evolution happening, like mm-hmm. to go from like one of my superheroes on a bike and like, posters of him, like, so seeing him riding flat and then riding ramps, you know, that just was even more mind-blowing, because like mm-hmm. I thought you, like, good guys just rode flat or just rode ramps, you know, but at that early age, seeing those dudes just ride at such a high level and ride all of it, Volker, you know, he was doing flat tricks, boosting ramps, so just being around, I think, of that era, I mean, I think all of us kind of coming up at that time, you just, BMX was super pure. You're riding down the street in your parents' car, you see any random dude riding a bike, and you're like, yo, BMX, like screaming out the window.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Dude, where do you live? And then like your parents are like writing down where it is. We got to ride bikes. And then you just met up.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you want to ride? Oh, let's ride Flatland. Okay, cool. Like, let's do some elbow glides. You know, or let's go to the ditch. You're like, yeah, ditch. Come home all skinned up. You know, like, yeah. So it was just.
I think every neighborhood had a jump called the ditch.
Yeah, you know, like, and there was always a spot that you could go session with your friends and not get hassled. You know.
Yeah.
So it's like your parents can see you down the street, but like we didn't know. So we're like, oh yeah, we're like all big. Like nobody's watching us. You know. And everybody was watching us.
Yeah.
You know, like nobody was getting away with nothing.
When you started out as the kid, did you have like big breaks at all? Or have you pretty much continuously rode like up until now? Or did you ever have any big breaks at all?
Yeah. So I'd say coming up like through middle school, high school, my pops, when his last duty station, we moved from Fort Lee, Virginia to Puerto Rico. That for me was that shook me at my core, because it was kind of like going back 5 years, 10 years, you know, like I didn't, you know, I could always understood people speaking Spanish. I could speak Spanish, but back then I chose not to. So my circle wasn't very big, and the school that I was going to was like K through 12, all on the same campus. My graduating class was 11 people, you know, so there was no BMX in school. You know, no. So I think we're in Puerto Rico probably a good, probably at least a year before I actually met dudes to actually ride with. And I had found a mini ramp at the beach, but like the first couple of years in Puerto Rico, like I was progressing well before we moved to Puerto Rico. And I'd say those first years, like it was just flat. Like I wasn't progressing. I was hardly riding, you know, started playing like in high school. So playing soccer, racing dirt bikes, like motocross bikes, street racing cars, you know, like all the things that you would consider stupid, you know, like doing all of them. But then finally like fell back into like a couple of dudes that were solid to ride with again, and then picked back up. So I'd say it's probably a lull of about maybe 3 years is probably like the longest that it's been. And then since that part of it, I'd say just recent, I'd say the last couple of years recently, just medical stuff. Like I've got a blown up back from my time in the military. So that this past year, I've probably been off my bike more than on it. I've got surgery coming up February 29th, I think, getting some new discs installed.
All right.
So hopefully, knock on wood, that'll be getting back to riding a hell of a lot more.
What branch did you serve in?
Air Force. I was in 4 years active duty. I spent more time deployed than home.
Oh, wow. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Cat, man. I want to jump in if it's all right with you. I enjoy hearing how you got into the sport and that. When did you get the idea for the shoe company? Like, when did this come?
So when I got out of the Air Force, while I was in the Air Force, I was riding with Mike Laird. So we had started to go to Greenville, North Carolina, because we'd met this dude named Dave. You know, so we'd met Mirror, we'd go down to ride with him all the time, and got the bright idea that when I got out of the service, I was maybe a year out. Mike's like, well, I'm going to move to Greenville. And I was like, well, shit, if you move to Greenville, I'm moving to Greenville, you know? And then he's like, all right, well, bet. So living in Greenville, like if you're inside of JC Park, looking at the spine ramp, like looking down the double coping, there was an apartment building this way, an apartment building this way. The end unit where you could see the coping, that was my apartment.
What? So
like, I could literally stick my head out the door and see what the session was.
What year was this around?
Oh, man. So this was, I got out 98. So like beginning of 98 is when we moved down there.
Okay.
So throughout 98, like 110% BMX. Eat, sleep, and shit BMX. Like, I worked just enough to go to contests.
Okay.
You know, like, eating ramen in the parking lots. Like I had a pickup truck. Like, I'd sleep under the tonneau cover because I didn't want to spend money on a Red Roof Inn unless there was, like, 10 of us in the Red Roof Inn. And then towards the end of 98, my cousin Chris lived in Brandon, which is outside of Tampa. So I'd come down here to Florida to ride with my cousin. And that's about the time that I don't know if I should say what shoe it was, but this very popular skate shoe that came out back then.
Okay.
That is Bilelli. I bought a pair of those things down here visiting.
Okay.
And basically the shoe blew up. The very PG and edited version, I was like, well, I'll just make my own damn shoes. And that was it. Like, so towards the end of 98, you know, I figured, you know, like, I'll make some BMX shoes, you know, like, skate shoes are super flimsy. They all fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, like, I've always been a shoe horse. I probably had like 15, 20 pairs of shoes in my closet, you know, friends rode for DC. So I had a ton of those, had a bunch of Vans, you know, had most of the skate brands that were around at the time, like, had a ton of different shoes. So it was easy to be like, all right, the things that I like about shoes, mm-hmm. make a list. And then the things that I don't like, make a list. And then for product, all right, if I fix the stuff that I don't like, I'll have a good product.
Yeah, and that sure. there was a big boom in shoes, because you had Audio, ES, Etnies, like you were saying, and you know, DC made a signature mirror shoe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little after that time. So you had a lot to draw from and work with. What was one thing that you remember, like, you don't have to name the shoe, but you were like, yeah, I want that in my shoe.
Well, so I remember at the time, like, I want to say it was a Jamie Thomas white leather. You know, like, I remember when that thing came out, and like, that was one of the shoes in my closet, you know? Okay. So like, I remember when I'm like, going through what I want to make as a BMX shoe, I'm thinking to myself, like, I want my shoe to feel like this. Like, mm-hmm. if I can take that shoe and just make it more durable, I was like, man, like, that's it. Like, that's a home run. Like, you know, there's no way that I can't not make this thing happen, you know?
Right.
Because that shoe, like, for me, like, it was sexy as hell. The colorway was dope. It gripped well. It just, the bottoms would always peel off, you know, like, I'd always delaminate the shoe. Like, I've always been one of those guys that wiggles my feet a lot on pedals, you know, so I'd always blow shoes up that way.
Huh.
Like, the limited edition of that shoe was all white leather.
Okay.
And it had a gum bottom.
Nice.
That thing was sick.
Did you have a favorite from then? Like, a favorite shoe before you'd got yours going? Like, did you have a favorite one?
I'd say that was probably one of them.
Okay.
My first pair of shoes that my pops bought me to actually ride bikes in was a pair of, like, the Jordan 1s, the mm-hmm. red, black, and white. So that was definitely always an early influence. And even now, like, with our high top,
mm-hmm.
There's several design cues lifted from that Jordan that you can find in our shoes today. Especially, like, if you look at, like, when we do the perf toe on the high top, that very, very much inspired by that shoe. But those, I'd say, like, that, like, S, I'd say S definitely had two or three shoes that spoke, like, at that era. And even just the Vallely shoe, like, that's the shoe that probably, because it blew up, made me want to build a shoe. But, like, mm-hmm. that shoe back then, the silhouette was sick. That matte black, because it was like that synthetic black suede, that looked sick. That gum bottom, like, the shoe looked like nothing else. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I was in love, man. Like that, so that white leather from the Jamie Thomas shoe, then that Vallely, I was like, holy shit, if we just make something that kind of brought that essence out without falling apart. I was like, Gucci, like we are there.
Right. So you had zero experience with shoes.
Oh, all I knew how to do is tie them up and break them. That was it, man.
So when you put this pair on and what you said blew up, is that you just went, I can do better?
Well, no. So, all right, I guess we'll get into it a little bit. So riding at the time, Skate Park of Tampa had a small mini ramp in the front part of the building. So I remember I did like wall ride to tape. And when my feet twisted, the middle part of the shoe delaminated. And then Etnies very graciously told me they wouldn't warranty the shoe. So being Puerto Rican and short tempered, you know, that turned out, I was just like, oh, I'll make my own damn shoe. Those shoes were like $110 back then.
Holy cow. You
know,
Yeah, those things were expensive, man. So just getting mad, like that's what started it, you know, getting pissed off that here they are, like Etnies at the time had BMX pros pushing that product, and then Etnies saying that they're designed for skateboarding and not for bike riding. Like they can't help you, you know, like we can't help you. Like that just burned my ass. I was like, I'll make my own damn shoes.
So when you tried to warranty the shoe, they said, oh, you were riding a bike.
Yeah, so that's, well, what were you doing? I was like, oh, I was riding my bike, and the dude like cut me off. You know, he's like, oh no, those shoes are designed for skateboarding, not bike ride.
Jeez. They had a pretty stout team too, man. Like,
Dude, like you look at that era,
yeah,
Etnies BMX, like, dude, legendary, literally one of the sickest assemblages of nasty riders, and still like one of the best teams ever. You know, you look at guys that rode back then, you look at just Joe and Taj, then you look at on the tech side of things, like, I mean, holy shit, like, where do you even start? Like, the Etnies BMX era, there, I don't think there was a single slouch on their team.
No.
You know, like, all those dudes were just, they just killed it, man.
I think that's when the term hired guns was coined.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, like, if you look at that era of BMX, like, all the dudes are running Etnies. Like, all the best dudes are running Etnies.
Huh. Like, everyone wore them.
So they sponsored everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
And the guys, like, the level of riding, like, that's when everything was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, but not like circus tricks big. Like now you have guys like hitting like 30-foot booters doing like triple flips.
Right.
You know, like right, just like dudes doing 6-foot quarter, 8-foot wall ride, foo-fooing the top of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so the progression of the sport was just like a rocket. And then all the dudes that I think what, to me, kind of embodied what would become the style for BMX, riding wise, you know, clothing wise, like that era coming out like 99 into the 2000s. Man, those are the best years. Like that time that I lived in Greenville, North Carolina, like those were the golden years of BMX.
How long did you live there?
Holy shit. I think I lived in Greenville. I think it was like 6 or 7 years. Then I moved to Charlotte. And then I was there for like, I think another 5 or 6 years.
So you were really right at that epicenter of, you know, the X Games blowing up. I mean, they'd started, but like, it, you know, that Mira era with, you know, Nyquist moves there. It just blew, just got massive.
And before the big migration, like, so when Laird and I moved there,
mm-hmm.
JC Park was, it was a small mini ramp that had a kink in one side. It was like a small sub box on the back and is kind of a small assortment of ramps. The locals were super rad. I remember Steve Nowak. He was kind of like the linchpin of the scene back then. And then Dave actually built the first 8-foot quarter, and then we built a box jump. that would be what would become like the new school box jump. Like it was 5.5 foot tall, 8 foot deck, tranny landing. And then that was just, that's when Dave was, I think, driving like some piece of shit Honda. You know, that there's an old zine like with Ramsdale and stuff that Dave's actually hitting. Yep, so that's the new version of JC. You know, like we were there from like the OG, like, so in the back corner where the 8 foot quarter was, that's where there was just a straight mini. But Dave was like hitting golf balls off like this piece of shit Honda, like in the zine. So okay. We've known Dave, like we knew Dave from like X Games 1, basically. And then Lee Ramsdale, that's when like he had the zine Orgasmic Toaster. This is like the 2B years. Hal and Lee were, and then like Play Clothes, you know. So this is like going back, you know, like when FBM was super underground, like Crandall and McGill, I remember like met them and Winkleman, like in this, holy crap, man, like,
wow,
had it been like I said, like maybe 98, 99, there was just so much happening in that scene. And then that's South when Carolina. I was just like,
wow.
So you're there. You got the idea for the shoe. Yours is blowing up. How long was it from that time? So we're at the, you know, going into the new millennium. And there was it from then till like you put a product in your hand?
Well, so when I first started, like, hey, I'll make shoes. Like, so going through 98, like, I'm like, all right, I want to make shoes. So first thing I did was like reach out to people that I knew in the industry. Nobody told me shit. then like I wrote to like, hey, maybe these shoe companies will give you some information. Nah, nobody told me shit. So through 98, I'm actively looking at how do I do this? Being a student of architecture, like looking at like elevation, like side view, front view, top view, all that stuff was easy. The silhouette of a shoe, you know, it's not exactly groundbreaking. So it was easy. Like what I ended up doing at first was just literally taking a Polaroid of a shoe. And then that was my silhouette that I drew off of. So the ideas were well, how to make that son of a bitch. Like I had no idea.
Yeah.
And as luck would have it, dumb luck. Literally at the end of 98, I was sending emails out to just anybody. I was sending emails out to like rubber recyclers, any place. Turned out I sent an email to a company in Seoul, Korea, that was recycling rubber. And I was like, hey man, trying to make shoes. Do you know anybody? And as it turns out, a guy that actually read my email is like, hey, I think I might. He's like, I think my cousin does something with shoes. Maybe you can talk to him. And then I never got replies or they were rejections. So I was like, all right, great. Like this guy's, he's not going to help. You know, he's not going to tell me nothing. So then I get, hey, like, here's the email address, write to him. So same thing, sent this email. Hey, I'm trying to make BMX shoes. You know, I get this like, you know, what's a BMX shoe? And I'm like, oh, damn idiot. Like, what do you mean? What's a BMX shoe? It's a skate shoe, just different. You know what I mean? So I'm like trying to like, can you help me or not? And then I was like, you know what? Whatever. This guy's not going to help. And then I get this other email back. And he's just like, all right, well, you know, talk to me a little bit more. Like, what are your ideas? What are you trying to do? I've never really dealt with a startup type of company before, somebody that's really small, you know? And then I was just like, and at this point, I'm still like super frustrated, about to give up, you know, like, I'm sending back like 13 word replies, right? And then all of a sudden it kind of like dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute, you idiot. Like this guy's already wrote me twice and he's asking me questions. And then I was just like, look, I'm so sorry about being short. Like I apologize. Like I'm just frustrated, but this is what I'm trying to do. These are some of the drawings I have for the shoes. These are some of my ideas. And it turns out that it was actually a sneaker manufacturer in South Korea that at the time they were making shoes. They were making some Vans. They were making some S. So they were very much in the skateboard shoe industry, mm-hmm. and that was their bread and butter. It's just this guy had never dealt with anybody that was a startup. Okay. And it took me years to figure out that, like, my first run of shoes was, I think I did like four dozen pairs of shoes. And I remember, like, I was like, yeah, what's your minimum order? And he's like, well, I don't know. How much money do you have? And I was like, $1,200. <You know? laughs>
Like, two shoes.
Yeah, you know, and then dude's like, well, yeah, we can try to do something, you know. And I was so dumb to footwear manufacturing. Mm. They lost more money just pulling machines off of making something else to make my stuff.
Make yours. Wow.
Yeah. You know, so it didn't, we yeah. weren't making decent orders until like after that first year. You know, and then at that point, you know, after SCG, like, we had our first production shoes for sale in the beginning of 1999. Wow. I think it was the end of January of 99. We had our first shoes for sale. And then we ended up doing, the first model was the Tyrant. And then Dan's ended up picking them up for a little bit. Like, QBP picked them up for a little bit. But a lot of it is always, you know, been on a shoestring budget since day one, you know, like, never had money to pay a pro team, never had money really to pay for ads. And then for me, like, I'm a disabled vet and, like, always worked in construction doing, like, kitchen and bath remodels, cabinet installs. So that was always what funded everything, mm-hmm. you know, as I went figuring, initially I wasn't figuring out shit. Like, I was just making mistakes, you know, so as I was going from mistake to mistake, right. You know, so that's kind of what continued the evolution. And even now, anytime there's a new piece of equipment that I want, like, I'll go sling some cabinets. Like, I ain't scared, mm-hmm. you know, like, banks aren't loaning me any money, you know? So we want new machines. Like, all right, well, we got to pay for them, you know? So that's shoestring budget since day one.
Well, before we jump in, we'll do a quick chat check in here real quick. Yeah. Cause I want to jump in and talk a little bit how you've always been rider owned, but along with the fact what separates you from other companies out there. But before we jump into that, we'll toss it over to Melissa for our BMX Rocks chat check-in. Melissa, how's the chat room going?
Pretty good. We want to say hi to Kip Edwards. He's tuning in from AOT.
AOT.
Paul Spadowski is also tuning in. Huck Karinsky says, let's go. He's down here in Sarasota for the Worlds on Friday. He says it'll be my first BMX race ever.
Oh my gosh.
That you picked the race, bro.
Yeah, for sure, man. Sarasota. Big hill.
That's one way to start 2024. Hi to Glenn Slusher. He says, what up from Hawaii? Sean Gifford with Die Job Apparel is tuning in. Says, welcome back, fam. Mo Collins, happy new year, ATB, and happy retirement to you, Mo. Thank you for your many, many years of service. We appreciate you. I'm sure Toledo will be missing you.
Yeah, just retired from the fire department.
Yes. Noah Robinson, hi. Says, what's up, homies? Nick Valencia is also tuning in. Evening, everyone. Brandon Lewis. Also, a good friend of ours from AOT tuning in. He says, good evening, ladies. Rick Carter of the Beer Budget BMX Show tuning in. He says something about DVS smelling my hair.
Is he in the wrong spot?
I had to wait till Justin was drinking before I did that.
He's in the right spot.
Yeah, he is. Billy with Gate 9 number plates tuning in. He says, what's up, all you weirdos? Chris, how's the Hooked on Phonics coming along? I know y'all took a break from birthdays to finish the course. LOL. Hi to the Rockford Rippers BMX team. Says, hello, beautiful people. Let's see. Over on YouTube, BMXer Don 01. Hi, everyone. How's it going? Martin Kennard tuning in from hopefully sunny Florida. says Happy New Year. Chase Mulholland is also tuning in on Facebook. Rider 48 over on YouTube says it is Jeff Upshaw's year.
Yeah.
So that's their vote.
That's not a bad pick.
The Syndicate line will be live soon. Sean, you might have to elaborate later. Let's see. Nick Valencia. Chris is going to heaven. He's never seen the OF logo.
What?
You're going to heaven. You've never seen the OnlyFans logo.
Oh. Okay.
That's an automatic right turn.
Hey, Nick. Sorry.
So he said.
That's right. Sticking
I
to his story.
I
think he's lying anyway.
I'm not.
Yeah, bullshit.
I've heard. In the after chat, I've heard OnlyFans, but I'm not familiar
okay.
with it.
Okay, blame it on that. Blame it on that.
You guys are like. Made me a delinquent. Well,
that's right. They're your bad influences.
Yeah.
good pal Robert Cardoza tuning in over on YouTube says always here to support. And I know you guys will have a great show as always. OP shorts would have been the 70s and Jimmy Z's would have been the 80s. That's what he said.
I had OP
You're
shorts
right
in
there.
The 80s, man.
Yeah, we were in there.
Hey, I agree with what he said.
hi to Rob Fluker over on Facebook. Happy New Year's, everyone. He says go Bills.
Go Bills. No, man, go Lions.
Tampa Bay. Go Bucks. Let's go Bucks.
Bills, maybe
Steelers.
Steelers.
There you go.
Everybody's going to start shouting out football teams now. Melissa's supporting the University of Michigan.
That's right. All day. Let's see. Hubbard BMX Raceway over on YouTube. Our ditch. Oh, their ditch was located by the Dairy Queen, which would be an awesome spot to have a ditch.
Yes.
Sweet.
As long as you had money, which, yeah. You know.
Hey, the small cone is pretty cheap, I think.
There you go.
At least back in the day it was.
Our also good pal, part of the show, Paul Remington, tuning in over on Facebook. He says, what's up?
Fog machines, Remington. Fog machines.
That's right. Randy Moore on Facebook, Music City in the house, he says. Hey, y'all. Lots of comments about digging your shoes. Kip says he's a shoe whore, so I think there's a sale in the making there.
Yep.
Welcome to the fence.
I was going to ask this earlier, but Braden wanted to know, Steve, if you guys make youth shoes, youth sizes.
The smallest size we make right now is a men's 5, just because we'll get back to it. Just
yeah,
tuning is extremely expensive, and then to do a youth size and adult size, it's the same cost.
Okay.
Only the return is like 100 times slower, if not worse.
Okay.
So as more women come into riding, we're making smaller sizes all the time. I've got 2 toddlers. So the boss lady keeps telling me I need to make shoes for my kids.
I mean, that seems like a logical line, but I get
yeah.
it.
So we're definitely, it's definitely in the plans, and we're working slowly towards that. Cause I think now, like, we do a men's 14 and 15. So we're trying to nudge to the big side and then continually kind of widen the size range out.
Okay. I guess the only plus to the kids' sizes is they grow out of them really quick.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, so, and now it used to be like with racing, everybody used to be able to clip in. So now with the kids not being able to clip in and riding flats. So now there's definitely more of an onus to do it.
Yep.
Because now like people have to ride flat pedals for youth racing.
Yep. That makes sense.
12 and under.
Yeah.
All right, a few more here. We say hi to Long BMX 33 over on YouTube. He says top-notch guest. First time I met him in Tampa, he felt like an old friend. Come on to NC sometime.
I have to come out soon. We need some Bojangles, baby.
Yeah. Oh, that does sound good. Let's see. Hi to Joe Rincon over on YouTube. Brian Fell, Mega Design, is also tuning in on YouTube. Hey. They both say what's up. Damon Tucson, the other part of our crew, is on Facebook, says hello, fam.
Damon.
Quick question for Steve. Hubbard BMX Raceway wants to know, Steve, if you have ever tried a pair of Jocks Jag?
Oh, yeah. Jocks Jag shoes.
Jocks Jag, yeah.
Those are from the 80s. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. I was definitely a skate shoe whore.
Gotcha. You had your your brand, and you were sticking to it, right?
That was
that was like the era, like the big poofy tongues and all that.
Yeah. Oh, I can kind of picture
the D3s by Osiris.
What was the company? Oh, Tom McCann. That was Tom McCann's cracking into the BMX market. And
what's that? The Jock Jack?
Jocks.
Oh, yeah.
Jocks.
Yeah. Well, and then Bach, Reebok. They did the Bach line with Hoffman.
Yep.
So there's a few people that tried early on to bring some of that flight. Because then for me, like between the Airwalk Velocity series. That was huge for me. The Vision Streetwears with the Lace Sabers, you know, that thing, like those were super dope.
Wow. Oh, I'm sorry, Melissa. You still had some people.
Yeah, that's okay. No, don't, they gave me a water break. I'm good.
Okay.
Hi to our Aussies down under. Matthew Boshen tuning in on Facebook. Hi, guys. Kip says, just shot you a dealer app. I'd love some Ayotte shoes, so be looking for that.
you've done something like that with Nowhere, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we had him on. Was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did some shoes with the Nowhere guys with Carl. We've done that also with Hellion Bikes. So collab stuff, absolutely.
There you go.
And yeah, there it is, right there.
Kip's the one to talk to.
Yeah, so that would be Kip Edwards. He's with Ayotte Race Gear.
Yeah, and also you can shoot me a DM on the SCG Instagram, and I can send you some of the different things we can do. Like we can do an all-over print on the insole pretty easily, and then we can do like the tongue logo. We can do that with your branding. And yeah, always down to do cool stuff with cool people.
Need some ATB shoes, man.
He's smelling a deal all over the place here. All right,
he's gonna need a little bigger order than two.
That's true.
Wait, or like rolling like I used to roll, right? I'm thinking like, yeah, four dozen pair. Like I'm a big wig. Like I got this.
Well, Melissa, and just Melissa to go back to that real quick,
so.
Go ahead.
My first shoes that showed up on the back of a UPS truck was with Winkleman sprinting, because Wink's house was down the street from mine. Colin was chasing the UPS driver, screaming my name that my shoes were coming.
Oh,
the UPS
goodness.
Guy actually brought the box out. Wink actually took it from the UPS guy and started like ripping the shit open. I didn't even get to open my first shoes. Colin did.
That's too funny.
That's great.
I lost my train. Oh, I did say hi to Matt. Okay. Jim Bosco says hello. Mike Melvin, the other half of the Budget BMX show, tuning in. Omo said flat pedal race shoes with BOA closure in adult and kid sizes. That would be killer.
BOA.
Oh, BOAs.
BOA. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
BOA.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I see capital, that's medical abbreviation to me. I was like NWD, you know, whatever. Hi to Jeff Burgess over on Facebook. Let's see who I don't want to miss anybody here. Damon. Oh, Damon says he's in for a pair. Mark Scott over on YouTube says what's up.
What up?
Okay. Kip says will do. He's pumped. He's so freaking pumped is what he said. So
there you go.
I know that man got back in the gym, so he's probably feeling amazing.
Right on.
So all right, thanks guys. Thanks for tuning in. If everybody has any questions, further questions for Steve. Throw them in the chat. I'll get them out there.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks to BMX Rocks Photography for sponsoring our chat check-in.
Yep, go check them out, www.bmx-rox.com.
Thank you, Chris. And before we jump to break, we're going to talk about your manufacturing process and what sets you apart from everybody else. So walk us through what is the big difference between a pair of your shoes and like something you're going to go to a department store and get that says they're a bike shoe.
Well, I think where we start is I own my own manufacturing in Colombia, South America.
Okay.
So it's my factory, my machines, my folks, my people. We own our own factory, we're basically able to do a much higher quality shoe. and still be competitive with most other shoe companies. You know, so we can stay close to everybody else's price point, mm-hmm. using better construction methods, using better materials. For instance, like our outsoles, they're glued and stitched all the way around. Everybody else nowadays is mostly just glued on. All the other brands, they're using a lot of, you know, synthetic materials to lower cost. We offer synthetic materials to do a vegan friendly model, but we don't use cheap synthetics to do that. Like, so all of the synthetics we use, they're basically designed to use in like commercial work boots. So when we've got synthetic suede, synthetic leather, the quality of that is much higher. Again, cool. Since we've been a small brand since day one, so we have to focus on making quality product. Like, I have to make better shoes than everybody else, because that's our trade, right? You know, we want you to take a chance on the brand. I have to offer you a better product, because we don't have the big brand name recognition like the Vans and everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And then to that effect, you look at Vans, they trade on their name. They sell a shitty shoe because it's a popular name, so people pay the money for a shoe that falls apart. You know, we can't do that. So manufacturing in our own facility gives us that luxury to build a better product. And then also it lets us kind of tune in from every time we make a new shoe model, we learn more stuff with production, how to make the next shoe better. But every time we do that, we distill everything that we glean from a new model vertically, but down. Like, anything new we learn, we push down through the whole line. So the sound model that we have, that shoe model is almost, I'd say it's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But we've never gone more than, I think, 10 months or 11 months without making a change, without actually changing production on that shoe.
Okay.
So we're constantly evolving our product. And if we were just worried about ROI, like return on investment, like money stuff, we wouldn't do any of that. You know, we would make one shoe until we got sick of it or people stopped buying it, throw it away. You know, and for us, it's always about building a better shoe. Like, that's first and foremost. It has to be a quality product, and that's job one. So I think that philosophy, being a rider, we want product that's quality. You know, I can't sell you a piece of garbage. I'm like, yeah, BMX shoe, it's mm-hmm. dope. And then it blows up 3 weeks later. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. Like, you know, like, you must have been doing something terrible. We're not going to warranty that. I want to make sure you wear your shoes out from riding in them, you know, not having to throw them out, because you rode in them for a few weeks.
Okay.
Your price points are right in there with any of the other ones too. And which is impressive, being you have just a quality product. What's it like with, like, you're hanging in, you're living in Tampa, but your place is down, you said, in Columbia, right?
Yep. So another thing is, like, we make our own polyurethane insoles.
Uh-huh.
So the polyurethane foam, it rebounds, it squishes, but it doesn't sack out. It doesn't get skinny like normal neoprene or the cheap foam that you see in a lot of shoes. I figure I had a shoe right next to me, so I'll give you some of the quick ones.
Yeah.
Inside the shoe, that's a woven lasting board. So if this piece on the inside, and a lot of shoes, it's cardboard. So if you get it wet, it breaks down, it falls apart. With our shoes, that textile material, you can get it wet, whether it's you have sweaty feet, you had too many beers, you jumped in the swimming pool, it doesn't matter. Like, that's not going to break down from getting wet, because it's a premium material. So we definitely put the best ingredients into it to make sure that we can offer a better product. Like I mentioned earlier, like, all the way around the shoe, it's stitched and it's glued. All our foams, we actually use ground up commercial truck tires and mixed into our foam. So we're constantly trying to recycle, trying to figure out how to do what we do with a lesser impact on the environment. All our cardboard, it's 100% post-consumer content. We do minimal ink on the boxes just so it's all recyclable. So all the things as consumers that we would want and as riders we would want, we have the ability to put all those things together because we own the factory. You know, we don't have to ask anybody to do something for us. We just basically do it ourselves.
So you have 100% of the manufacturing of the shoe from start to finish. No outsourcing or.
Yeah. So we don't use any materials, from Southwest Asia at all. So all of our suedes and leathers are high end Colombian, Argentinian or Spanish. Our adhesives are Spanish and German. Our textiles are Mexican. So all our shoes, like there's an internal toe cap, to give toe protection in the BMX shoe. It's a stiffer one in our mountain bike shoe. So the small parts come from Mexico. Our outsoles, the rubber outsoles, my buddy's factory makes these for me like 10 minutes from my factory. Insoles, they are literally made maybe four blocks away.
Wow.
All the textile is sublimated at that same spot. Our shoelaces are made literally two blocks the opposite direction. You know, so wow. Literally when I say like our shoes are made in Colombia, like they are made in Colombia.
That's
pretty
cool.
Our factory's registered in Colombia as a national brand, if you would. So it's Colombian manufacturing, local materials, local labor. And even like the boxes you can see over my shoulder, mm-hmm. like they're literally made down the street. I think our box is like they're maybe five blocks away from us. We're able to keep hands on with material. Like I can tell you what's coming from where. Like even for instance, we do waterproofing on our mountain bike shoes, and even that waterproofing spray we use is French. You know, so again, always looking at quality and looking at kind of the environmental concerns as well. And just being able to be kind of a weenie with those details, because that's honestly what's the most important. You know, very right. few people know SCG compared to, let's say, like a Vans or an Etnies. You know, so with that consideration, I always have to make sure our build quality is top notch. You know, and even like with warranty stuff, typical warranty is 30 days with any footwear. I can tell you last year total, we warrantied 8 pairs of shoes. And then of those 8 pairs, one pair was inside of that 30 days. And the person that warrantied the shoes crashed and got a sprocket literally like right on close to like one of the seams. Mm-hmm. So it tore the suede at the stitch because the sprocket got it. Mm-hmm. We still warranted it.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Well, it would have been easy to be like, oh, you know, like you shouldn't have crashed.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's lame. You know, that's what pissed me off. Like when Eddie's told me like, oh, you're riding a bike. No shit. Like, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
but
so,
you know what? That person that you warrantied that shoe for?
I love them.
Yeah. Earned a customer for life. Probably.
That's what I mean. They're right. They're going to go like, those dudes took care of me. I'm going back there again next time I need a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and literally, like, these are my initials, like Steven Caro Guzman. Like, so my name is on everything that we make, literally.
Yep.
You know, and I'm Puerto Rican. So my pops told me years ago, he's like, look, all we got's our name. Don't fuck it up.
You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, when you make something and your family name's on it, it's
you know,
it's important.
Yeah. So I see Steve on your slip-ons that you can customize the outsole too. Is that on all of your shoes or just the slip-ons?
So with the insoles, basically, we're set up like our manufacturing facility. We're set up like a custom shop that can do production capacity. Mm-hmm. So just like the Nowhere insole, just like this all-over graphic we did with the SCG, I can print a pig sitting on a rocket with a lasso shooting over the moon. You know, like if that's what you want, like, yeah, like word, let's do it. Okay. You know, like we can pretty much print any insole graphic real time, you know, so it's, wow. We don't have, because that's how we're set up. We're set up to do sublimated graphics for ourselves. So it's literally just creating the art piece and then just printing the negative to actually just heat press it to the actual insole.
And then there's some customization to the outsole as well?
Is that... So the outsole, the rubber, no. We can do three different colors. We do black, we do gum, and we do white.
Oh, well, that's customizing.
For instance, we offer three standard colors. We do a camo from time to time, but we actually mix rubber. So we'll do eight batches of rubber in different colors. It gets hand-mixed. So they end up looking really, really unique. That's there's awesome. No two shoes that look the same.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
That is nice. That is sweet.
Yeah, and it's literally all done in-house. You know, like where some, for instance, like the outsoles, my friend's company makes them for me. Like when our outsoles are getting made, I can literally sit there like at the mixing table, putting ingredients in, watching rubber get batched. We've got videos where like we're filming ourselves, our rubber getting loaded into our molds, getting put into the machines, like to press it and cook it. You know, like, so I had this boss lady, my two little midgets.
So cute. That's awesome.
But, and right now, so I have another trip coming up soon. We'll be buying a couple more machines, some autolasters to continually increase production. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always looking at efficiencies, right?
Oh yeah.
And on that table, so we got some wingtips. I love wingtips, but I've got wide feet. So traditional wingtips, they squeeze my feet so hard, my feet fall asleep. Pardon me looking around like a crackhead, right. But
they're towards the bottom.
So there's a plastic foot form called a last.
Right there.
That plastic foot form, we use the same last for all of our shoes. So the wingtip literally fits just like the sound model. You know, so that wingtip in the photo, that's the first cut of that shoe. I rode a big concrete skate park outside of Bogota for 2 weeks in that shoe.
So these fit like a regular, like a regular shoe does,
not like a dress
shoe.
Yes,
sir. So literally, if you look, all of our models, so the wingtip, the high top, the sound, the mid, all of our shoes will fit you the same because they are all made with the same tool. So once you find your size, it doesn't matter what model you get; they're all going to fit you the same way.
And the sizes you have listed on your website are typical men. Shoe sizes, correct?
Correct. And like, so, and you subtract one size for women, and then if you're not certain, we have a size chart on the website, but we also have a fit guide on the website. So if you tell, like, basically we would tell you, like, from the center of your heel to your longest toe, if you trace your foot on a piece of paper, you measure from those two points, you tell me what that number is, and I will tell you what size you are.
Right there.
Look at that, like picture right by picture directions. That's user friendly.
So we literally will give you the instructions on how to do it, and if you need help, that's literally what we're here for.
That's wonderful. That's great.
That is cool, dude.
How many times a year are you down at the your plant?
This year we're shooting for at least six to eight trips this year.
Wow.
And then my production manager, so constant Zoom calls, between Zoom, FaceTime, and WhatsApp. I'm on the phone with the fact I'm on the phone with Andres at least, man, hours. We're on the phone hours, sometimes 3-4 hours a day. Typical call, like usually hour and a half every day. We're checking in, talking about stuff all day long. We're constantly going back and forth, either with photos or video feed, looking at what's going on in production, what we're working on.
That's awesome.
There's always a project. Mm-hmm. Something's always in the works, and then something's always getting refined. So that's kind of like we've got production in the middle. How can we make this better? And then we've always got like, this is the new idea. So those three things, constantly interchangeable pieces. And honestly, like it's ongoing all the time.
And if you're blessed enough to be in the Tampa area, it looks like you are in REI there.
Yep. Yeah. We are in REI in Tampa, and knock on wood, we'll actually be going to the other REIs in the state of Florida, trying to get shoes into them as well.
Congratulations. Nice. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I think we're the first BMX footwear brand that's ever made it like into a normal commercial store.
Coming to an REI near you.
Right.
Hopefully, but, yeah, like go to your local REI, tell them you want shoes.
That's right. Right now. But right now, go to Tampa.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you something, and it might be proprietary, and that's just let me know. So when you run these shoes, what kind of batch do you run them in? Do you run 100 at a time, 1,000 at a time? How do you do it?
Well, see, for us, because we own the factory, it's irrelevant. Because let's say if you're a bike shop and you want to get 2 dozen or 3 dozen pairs of shoes. So we have inventory in Tampa. We have inventory in Bogota. If we have something that, let's say a shop wants that we don't have an inventory in Tampa or Bogota, we can cut it and sew it and ship it. Coming out of pandemic, we've had logistical issues with shipping partners.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest hang up with more of this on-time fulfillment. But starting in January now, we'll actually be doing all of our shipment from Colombia, basically anywhere, with DHL. So we can do DHL 3-day. So the way shipping would work is, let's say if you order a pair of shoes, you would pay the shipping from Tampa to wherever you're at. If we have to ship it from Bogota, you still only pay from Tampa to where you're at. We'll pay the difference, and we'll shoot it to you DHL 3-day.
Wow.
That's a pretty good turnaround. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what it should, like, over the last 2 years, this is how it should have been, but we've had a lot of logistical issues. As here in the United States, as customs has made changes, it requires changes to be made in all the other countries that ship to the United States. So with all of these bigger changes that have happened, there's been a lot of smaller, because we try to partner with mom and pop's places because that's, in my opinion, that's the smart money. You know, those are people like us that get up, grind hard, and they're underappreciated.
Yep.
But they're also the ones that are hit the hardest when there's big changes like that. So we've had, like even now, like for the last 2 years, we've had some part of every batch order that we've done where there's a handful of people that didn't get product on time or that we still might have to send some stuff. You know, so thankfully, we'll get ahead of all that now. Like by the end of first quarter of this year, we'll be completely caught up with everything that's back ordered. But we'll actually be on time again. So if we get your order in on a Monday, we're shooting to mail it to you that following Monday, even if we have to cut it and sew it.
Wow. So you have a week lead time.
That's what we're trying to get it dialed into.
Wow. So you have the raw material sitting there.
Yeah, constant. So right now, like with your number, like there's at least 1,000 pairs of outsoles on the racks. But because everything's local, I don't have to make 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 pairs of outsoles at a time.
Okay.
You know, I can keep fresher inventory at smaller quantities. So that way you're not getting a shoe that's 2 years old.
Right. So your inventory turns a lot quicker.
So we don't have a warehouse full of shoes. We have our consumables, and then we can just replenish those as we need to. So we've got suede and leather, like I think 7 colors of suede, 4 colors of leather, our synthetic leather, synthetic suede. We've got canvas, like our canvas. We've got the black canvas. We've got a really cool woodland camo, desert camo. And that stuff is actually mil spec, canvas that we get from Mexico. So it's what the Mexican military uses for their combat boots.
Dang. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
But we keep everything on hand, and we just constantly we try to set numbers so we never run out of anything, but we don't have to order a ton. Right. So we don't have a lot of dead money just in inventory.
Yep.
Smart.
Yeah. No, that's the way to do it for sure. Yeah. So the just-in-time stuff, that's pretty sweet. So a week, that's pretty dang good.
That's
7 to 10 days is what we want to live and die by.
Yeah. How many employees do you have?
Right now in Colombia, we've got 8 in the factory, and we're going to add a couple. We're adding, I think, 3 more. We start back at the factory on the 8th. Okay. So we've got, I think, 5 people coming in. We hope to keep at least 3 of them. Okay. So we're doing like sewing tests and stuff like that now. Just again, we trying to benchmark up for adding automation, but adding mm-hmm. people to continue add production capacity. Okay. We never replace people with machines. We use machines to augment people. Yeah. For instance, we've primarily hand cut everything for the last 10 years. So with our main cutter, we're adding a clicker press and cutting dies. So with the cutting press and the dies, he will cut in one day what it takes him a week to cut by hand.
Wow.
That's sweet.
So you start looking at industrialization, like that's the trade, you know?
Yeah.
But the idea is typically when you get more machines, you start looking at getting rid of people. Mm-hmm. And what we're looking at doing is as he runs out of stuff to cut, then we'll bring him in for a different part of production.
Yep.
You know, so we're constantly growing people. People, there's love and there's care. You know, machines, they're indifferent. You know, like a machine's cold. It's just going to smash something and that's it. It's right. either a needle going through leather, or it's a cutting die hitting rubber, you know. So the machine doesn't care if it does a good job or not. Like, that's where people come in. Yep. You know, so I never want a facility that's heavily automated. I want machines to augment my human capital, you know, because that's our most important part.
Yeah.
You know, our people is 100% what we're all about, because at the end of the day, I can't make this many shoes by myself.
Correct.
You know, and my people are my people, you know, like, mm-hmm. like I take care of them because they make this. Like, without them, I've got a bunch of good ideas and a bunch of damn inventory, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of material.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if you look behind me, like, that's my sewing machine. So every shoe model that we make, the patterns I've designed here, they get hand cut, they get sewn on that, and that's where every pair of shoes starts design wise. Wow.
Okay. So that's where you prototype them.
That's where all my prototypes come out of.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's what I tell my people too. You know, you're not going to be replaced by a machine. You may be doing you may be doing something a little different than you were doing, but you're not getting replaced by a machine.
Well, and again, if I can help them get rid of some of their physical labor mm-hmm. by giving them the tool that will actually do the heavy lifting for them, it's worth it. Yeah, I'm an old carpenter. If I can use the tool once, it's worth the money, right? Yeah.
Right.
So trying to keep that same idea, that same mentality. Like, how can we help our people be more efficient? Not to take away from them, yep. but I want them to be able to do a better job with less physical stress. The last thing we want to do is wear somebody down to the nub.
Right.
And then that's also different. Like, most footwear factories pay by the piece. You know, we don't. You know, we...
Oh, gosh.
The way we set salary is... We look at somebody's like max piece rate, that's what they get paid, but then we reduce that max load by almost, you know, 40 or 50%. You know, and what we tell them is like, we don't expect you to do that much. We expect shoes, we want perfect and we want half as many. You know, let's focus on quality, not quantity. Yep. You're going to get paid the money that you want to make, but you're not going to have to kill yourself making, you know, let's say like 200 pairs of shoes a day. You know what I mean? So if we can focus on quality work, and again, in an industry that's traditionally piecework, it's hard to get people to buy in and understand that you're not trying to play with their money, you know, because people are like, oh, well, I have to make this many shoes. And it's like, no, you have to make this much money and you're going to. Well, let's focus on quality, not quantity.
Yeah, when you get into that piecework, your quality goes in the hole big time.
Well, the biggest thing is everybody does piecework. But what happens is when you start to decrease what people make per piece, they have to make up with that decrease in pay with volume. They have to make more pieces to make the money they were making before.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where quality goes to shit fast.
Yep.
You know, because now they're just pumping them out. You know, like, so, hey, if I need 200 to get what I want to make, I need to pump out 300 so I can make 100 of them wrong and I get 100 that I'm 200 that I'll get paid on.
Yeah.
That's a big factor. You know, so like, instead of throwing away 100 pair to get 200 good ones, why don't we just focus on 150 good ones, 200 good ones to begin with instead of the 300? We're saving money by not throwing those 100 pair in the trash can. And then that money that we're not throwing in the trash can, how about we spread that amongst all the workers with better pay? And like, we pay benefits, you know, like with retiro, like retirement stuff. So in typical piecework industry, there's no social protections. There's no benefits. And again, like, these are all my dudes. Like, the first thing I do when I fly to Colombia, I meet up with Andres at the airport. First thing we do with the crew is go eat. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's dinner or it's the next day at lunch, the whole crew goes out. And the one rule we have is nobody talks about work at the table.
Nice.
You know, like, that's it. Like, let's catch up. Like, how are your kids doing? You know, how's the family? Who's having a baby? You know, like let's go through that stuff because that's what's important, you know?
Yeah. That also drives retention, which, you know, as you guys know, like, retention's you don't have the downtime of training up and teaching. That's all great. That's great philosophy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You aren't hearing that in some of the, you definitely ain't hearing that kind of stuff happening over at some of those other big shoe companies. We're going to slide into trivia, Steve. And then, are you ready for the, rapid fire round after trivia?
Hey man, I'm somewhat fouled mouth, so I'll try to keep it clean.
Oh, it's going to be good. No, it's going to be good.
That's all right.
It is time for Melissa's trivia. And it's brought to you by our good friends over at Bombshell Racing System. If you guys haven't done it, make sure you get over there. Check them out. At Bombshell Racing System. Melissa, you got a good one?
I never know.
You never? I took a peek at it.
I never know.
It's very good.
Well, now that I'm jinxed. Excuse me. All right, speaking of Bombshell, your own little dog tag going in the prize pack there. These are few and far between. Justin and I were doing some cleaning this weekend, and we found some fun stuff.
You guys are digging through the prize closet?
A little bit.
Yep.
I don't know if you can see this. This is a Rad Dad's beverage koozie, and it happens to have Santa caps on it, so I thought that was kind of somewhat fitting for the end of the season here.
There we go.
So that's going in the prize pack. You got your standard sticker pack there. There is not the new flavor yet, but there is a pack of the Danger Snacks in there, along with a whole bunch of stickers. And then lastly, I got a Stealth gray t-shirt here that is going to the winner. And it is a 2X, so...
Got some big boy size friends.
There we go.
Yeah, hey, it doesn't happen very often. Hey, built for comfort.
Either that or pajamas. Right?
Yeah, or a dress.
Night shirt.
Get yourself a good belt. All right, Steve, don't answer. You should know the answer to this question, but don't answer. All right, I would like to know, what year did Steve get out of the Air Force and move to Greenville? What year did Steve get out of the Air Force and move to Greenville?
All right. And while we watch, Melissa watched for the answer in the chat. I got way too many things going on. I'm not looking for answers in there. We are going to jump into our lightning round. It's brought to you by 110 Nutrition. 110 Nutrition's mission is to deliver the highest quality products and service in the supplement industry. Make sure you guys visit 110 Nutrition at www.110nutrition.com and use our discount code ALLTHINGSBMX.
It's time for that New Year's resolution. Get to the gym, lose weight, make sure you get your 110.
Drink your protein.
Yep. Yeah. What is it, Melissa?
Creatine.
No.
Wait.
Protein? Aminos.
Oh, the aminos and Tito's.
There you go.
Except for many people, it's dry January, so.
Oh, that's true.
Might be laying off the Tito's.
Yep.
Just stick with the aminos.
Yep. Or the greens. Yep. Gotta get that.
They got it all.
We should get a table and just set it up over there at Planet Fitness at the front door.
Right.
Just be like, hey, man, this has 30 servings of protein in it. This is going to last longer than your New Year's resolution of going to the gym, okay?
Oh, right.
So get the aminos and be like, look, when you're done going to the gym, you just mix this with the Tito. And you're good to go.
With the Tito.
Oh, we still got the wrapper question in here. Okay.
We'll modify it.
All right. Well, that one's yours. I have the first question, Steve. So last movie or show you liked so much you watched it twice?
Oh, man. Easy one. Equalizer. We saw that movie for like the 30th time yesterday.
Equalizer. Didn't the third one just come out?
Yeah, and we watched that one for the second time yesterday too.
Have we watched? We haven't. We got to cop those. We got to watch.
Have Netflix. Not hey, watched
Netflix,
the third
Netflix
one.
Just put it on.
Yeah.
We rented it on Apple, and then you can watch it for free after January 1 on Netflix.
Yeah.
Equalizer.
Netflix.
Check that out.
Shout out. What's up?
Send the check.
Denzel.
Is that one of them shoot 'em up movies?
Kinda.
All right, I'll have to check that out. All right, Steve, would you ever go skydiving?
Yes, I would do it again.
You have done it.
Oh, I mean, he was in the Air Force.
Well, no, this is like stupid young kid stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, no training. I mean, I went piggyback and I think 15.
Oh, my God. You're crazy.
Oh, nice.
Maybe 16, but I think I was 15. I don't know if I can. Buddies in the Coast Guard.
There you go.
All right.
Friend of a friend.
Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Most of the time, but this year actually, I did not.
All right.
Okay.
I was thinking, I'm having back surgery coming up. So I was like, well, you know, like, if I want to do this or want to do that, I don't know if I'll be able to or how long it'll take. And then me being anal about most everything, like, I'll just get myself all worked up and be all pissed off.
All right, Steve, what celebrity annoys you the most?
Oh, man. I guess any of those Valley Girl types.
Okay.
Solid answer.
Right. Is your bed made right now?
It's made a mess.
That's a solid answer.
I haven't had that one before.
I like that one. Do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't tell me that out of this much life that we have just on this little spinning rock in space that nothing exists outside of it.
100% agree.
All right. If you could transform into an animal, which one would it be?
Oh, man. Orca. I'd be a killer whale just so I could jack everything up, eat shark livers, punt seals.
That would be an epic part of being an orca. Yes, punting seals.
Yes, for sure.
Who's your favorite musical artist?
Oh, man. Lamb of God, hands down.
Solid answer. Okay. Your first job.
My first job, first paying job, I was a bagger at the grocery store on base at the mini mart.
Okay.
What
is your favorite day of the week?
Oh, man, honestly, it's like Groundhog's Day, man. half the time I don't even know what day it is.
Hey, that's all right. Any day is your favorite day then, as long as it's today.
Yeah, like, I mean, every day I get to see the boss lady and the kids, you know, so wow. That's, I'm lucky and blessed I get to wake up in the morning, you know.
That's awesome. Right now.
Okay. Who's your hero?
Man. Okay, hero riding bikes, Rick Molinterno. Hero okay. In life,
yeah.
I would have to say, like, that was my pops, man. You know, a lot of who I am is directly related to my pops. And we didn't speak for 5 years. Like, we're so much alike. It was bad for a long time.
Okay.
But I'd say those are two easy ones. And then my mom's dad, my grandpa, my mom's side, like, he's the one that taught me love of trade. You know, so mm-hmm. I'd say those are my three quick ones.
If you had solid. To listen to one Lamb of God album for the rest of time, what one would it be?
Man. Palaces.
Okay.
As Palaces Burn. I could jump on that like all day, every day.
All right.
What, Steve, what's your favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday, Christmas, because the kids freak out.
Huh. Right on.
Yeah, like you should have seen my boy when he saw that there was actually stuff in the stockings.
How old is he?
He's three. My daughter's four.
Oh,
fun. They both got birthdays coming up now. Nice. So it'd be 4 and 5. So they're 11 months apart.
Oh, wow. That's busy.
Fun Christmas age. Ooh, right there.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite sport. Other than BMX?
Soccer. Well, playing was soccer, but American football is definitely where I hang my hat and watch.
I like it.
What's the last thing you Googled?
The last thing I Googled? Can I cheat and look?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
We've had that.
Oh, monetary conversion, Colombian pesos to U.S. dollars.
That's awesome.
Makes sense.
Always changing.
Yeah, why not? Okay, Steve, if you could write a book, what would it be about?
If I could write a book, I think it would be about BMX going from moving, like leaving Puerto Rico, joining the Air Force, and like starting riding again. Like with Laird and those guys, because that's when it started again, you know. Yeah. like 110% like core riding and how that's basically led me to this point in my life, you know. Like, I think if I had to pick one person that doesn't quite know exactly how big an influence they've been, it's Laird, you know, that salty bastard. I love him. Cool. I owe that dude a lot, man.
Like, make that. Some solid bike frames, man.
Yeah. Which, oh, yes, sir.
Which leads us to the next question. Yeah, Chris is going to ask you.
So, bike frame. Are you going to go with aluminum, chrome moly, or carbon fiber?
See, like, it's super easy. I cannot just give you material. Like, it's chrome moly for sure, but I'm riding a standard STA, and, like, that's
solid.
You can ask Laird. Love him to death, but even Mike will tell you I'm a standard whore.
There you go.
Okay.
Would you rather travel back in time or go forward in the future?
Honestly, I'd like to go back to, like, not selling my Apple stock before it split. Like, that would be dope.
All right.
That's a solid reason.
That's it, for sure.
No judging there. Steve, if you could change your first name, what would you change it to?
Dang, I don't think I could, because, like, so I was born in England. My pop's military, you know, so I was born off base and to a midwife, and I was a surprise. Like, the crib wasn't built yet. I just kind of was like, yo, what's up? I'm here.
I'm here.
So my dad's, my first night on Earth, I slept in a dresser drawer, and I got my name because of the blanket that I was wrapped in. Was the Stevens Company.
Okay.
How far?
My mom dug the name, so I don't think I could.
You couldn't. Like, you couldn't. That doesn't.
Got a backstory.
Nope, that doesn't apply to you.
Okay. What is the type of music that annoys you the most?
Oh, man. I have to be very careful how I answer this because I am married. So I'm going to say the radio-friendly stuff that the ladies tend to enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way I don't get myself in trouble.
Yep, that's a solid answer.
What's your favorite type of cookie?
Chocolate chip.
Are you a Facebook or more of an Instagram fan?
Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah, I think with Instagram, it lets us be a little more specific into like what we want to see. And Facebook just seems like there's too much whining, like people crying about shit.
You are not lying, man.
That Twitter. Or sorry, X. Or whatever the hell it is. Z, whatever the hell it is.
Well, yeah, and that one, like, I couldn't, yeah. Like, the I don't know, I think Elon Musk is, he fell on his head too many times as a kid.
He's an interesting dude.
Okay.
Two more.
Do you prefer to talk on the phone with someone or text them?
I would rather sit, like, my first option would be, like, I'd love to sit down with you first. Then second would be to talk.
All right. Here's your very last question. It's a hard one. You ready?
Shoot.
Your favorite Wednesday night live streaming BMX show.
I'm looking at them.
There we are. All right. Chris, you want to let them know who's going to be on next week?
So next week, we're going to be talking to women's elite racer Olivia Armstrong.
Be a good time.
What's going on with her? Somebody we haven't talked to before, so we'll find out what her BMX story is.
I don't know her well, but if I'm not mistaken, the one thing I do know is she's fast as.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'll be fun because I'm gonna not be a, super familiar with her.
Like to talk to the girls.
Here's your reference within a reference. It's going to be a Full Tilt show. It's who she rides for. Well, listen, did we get a winner
that would be
on
like,
the trivia?
Listening to the radio.
Right. I don't know. You guys suck. Does Robert count?
Cardoza? No.
I'm telling you, this trivia is a dying art thing. You got two answers, and one of which was Robert. He said 98, and then Damon and girlfriend Rebecca said 92, so they were close. And if it was 98, right, Steve?
98.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well. All right.
Cardoza, we'll work it out.
You're the winner, buddy. Yeah.
He usually donates back. But just in case he's interested in this T-shirt, I'll give him the opportunity.
I think he knows the owner.
And yeah, just probably another little grain of, like, all things BMX, right? So I started SCG in 99. George Hornick started Inopia after that. And I remember I told George, I was like, look, bro, when I tried doing this shit, nobody told me anything. Don't do this, 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 do this, do this, do this. Didn't listen. Fuck it up. So Rich Hirsch, Low Tech. Yeah, I remember Bruce is like, hey, a friend of mine wants to start a shoe company. Like, will you talk to him? I was like, hell yeah. And I literally have Rich's OG phone number still literally in my organizer. Same thing. I was like, Rich, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Unfortunately, don't fucking listen. No more Low Tech. Derek, you know, with Orchid. I remember, like, I told
them.
So Interbike 1 year. I remember, like, I had a half booth, and that's when they just came out. Like, so you've got all of Little Devil. Like, I thought Orchid was going to be the first BMX brand that was going to just fucking explode.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in BMX, but, like, mainstream. Like, they had the team. They had marketing, they had image, like I thought they had all of it put together well enough. And I remember I told Derek, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. You can't fuck it up. You know, like, unfortunately, there's no more BMX brands. You know, like, it's hard, man. You know, a BMX shoe company is hard as fuck.
And you are still the only rider brand or rider owned brand, correct?
Yeah. Like, we're the only company here in the States, man.
Congrats.
Like, there's been, I'm trying to remember, Almond, I think.
I remember them popping up.
Came and went. So there, I mean, there've been a handful of them. But right now, like, I think we're the only one left, man. Like the first one, and right now the still swinging. Well, and I think a testament to everybody that's ever supported SCG. You know, so that's my huge thank you. Anybody that's waiting on product, double thank you, because you're putting up with all the shit while we're figuring out how to get going in this after COVID world we live in now, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But at the end of the day, like, it's all about loving what we do. BMX, man. You know, like, riding bikes, that's what's got us here. And that's what will always keep us going.
And where can they order their shoes from?
So direct online, scgshoeco.com. Instagram, I think you can get stuff through there. Even if you're looking for something specific that might be out of stock, you can pre-book it. We can make it for you. You know, shops, we were looking at doing distro in the States, but we brought in some new folks. Everett, I'm glad to have you. And we're going to be doing distro in-house. Mm-hmm. So bike shops, we don't do any crazy big minimum. It's like, you don't have to order, you know, X amount of pairs of shoes per season. Another thing I think that we do that's very different is our shoe boxes. They never change. We don't change artwork. We don't change colors. All of our standard shoe colors, that's year in, year out. So let's say if you like forest green and gum, we make it all year, every year. So as a bike shop, if you do, let's say, get a dozen pairs of shoes, you don't have to worry that I'm going to change boxes on you or change colors on you and make you discount your product in a month or two, because we're going to date your product because we're getting rid of it. You know, so trying to be small shop friendly, return on investment. If it takes you 2 months selling shoes, or if it takes you 6 months to sell them, we don't want to have you have to discount product. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't change a lot of things on purpose, so that way shops have current inventory year in, year out. We do limited edition stuff. We always do limited stuff. We can always do collab stuff. But all of our standard bread and butter stuff is standard bread and butter year in, year out, for that reason, to help protect shops' margins.
All right.
Very cool.
So get a hold of Steve over at scgshoeco.com.
Perfect. Can you stick around for a second, Steve? And we're going to sign off here. I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. Good to have everybody back. Melissa, thank you. Right. Chris, thanks for coming out. Yeah, appreciate
happy
it.
New Year, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me. Yeah, I thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening and listening to me ramble for a while.
Oh, it's all good.
No, it's all good, Steve. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us. We really appreciate that. It's fun to get to know you. Hey, everybody, thank you for joining us tonight. Make sure you like and subscribe, like we always say. It does help the show out. Please do that. Just reach over there with your thumb and hit that little thumbs up real quick. Done. Take care of it. Join us next week. We'll be talking to Olivia Armstrong. Find out about her, what her BMX story is. And till then, God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday.